Blog Talk Radio.
You are the same.
Father, that's my prayer this morning, Lord. God, that your glory would come, Lord, to our lives. God, we're nothing unless your presence touches us, unless your Holy Spirit, Lord, unless you empower us individually as true spirit-filled Christians, unless you empower this church. Lord, we're praying that your glory will come and bring revival, Lord, even in the midst of darkness, even in the midst of judgment, even in the midst of wrath, even in the midst of great evil, Lord, you can pour out your spirit and move and send great revival, draw many people to know, come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So we pray that over our region here in East Alabama. We pray for revival. We pray for revival in America. We pray, God, for your mercy to touch this world, Lord. Begin to stir and begin to move in impossible situations. Lord, in churches that are dead and dry and resisting the truth, Lord, you're still able to break them down and to move in and to reveal yourself and to save people. Lord, we pray for your glory to come, for your anointing to come, for your words to flow and have free course in our lives and through us. We pray that many people will see the Bible is true and that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way, the only Messiah, the only one who died for our sins, the only one who rose from the dead to be our Lord and Savior, victor over death, hell, and the grave. We thank you. We pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. While Kevin's switching out and hooking my computer up this morning, I hope you guys are ready to do a little excursion through the Word. But first, let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We'll read something there, and then we'll continue from there. Ecclesiastes. And let me know when you get there. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, we're going to read verse 9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Do you see that? The thing that hath been, things of old, things of ancient times. He's saying things that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. This is hard for human beings to grasp, but this is more true than we even realize. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 24, we're going to read a prophecy of Jesus in the context of the last days, the time we live in. And as you can already see from the PowerPoint slide this morning, the title of this message is Nephilim, Satan's Genetic Seed. And we're going to dig into this morning, and it is relevant to what is coming upon the earth, really what is already happening upon the earth, what has happened, and what will happen in the days ahead. Matthew chapter 24, and all these questions come down to, are we going to believe what the Bible says? Are we going to believe what history says? Are we going to believe what archaeology says? Are we going to believe what DNA evidence now says, and are we going to believe what the witnesses who are coming forth are saying And what the Bible says not only is happening, but what's going to happen because of it. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus made this statement. We're going to go down to verse 37. But he said this, verse 37, let's read. In the context of the last days, he said, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So Jesus made that statement in Matthew 24. Let's look at Luke 17, just so you'll see it again. Everybody turn to Luke chapter 17. Speaking in context of the last days in chapter 17. In Luke 17, verse 24, Jesus speaking here, he said, "For as lightning that lighteth out of one part of heaven and shineth even to the other part of heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation." And then in verse 26, he says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." So here Jesus says, and I like the way it's written here in Luke even better than Matthew 24, but in context of the last days, in the context of the second coming of Jesus Christ and the events that would lead up to the second coming of Jesus Christ, he made a very important statement here. He said, let's read verse 26 again, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man." Now, is that in your Bibles? Everybody see that, right? We have two witnesses. Now, we come across something, because if we're going to believe that, and I remember studying this back in 1987 when I came back to the Lord and got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I began reading this stuff and reading through the New Testament and learning, I always believed that the way it was in the days of Noah, it would be as we got near the second coming of Jesus. Why? Because I believe the Bible. I had encountered Jesus. I had met Jesus. I had had a powerful encounter with him, and he had washed my sins away and called me to the ministry and given me a vision of heaven and the glory of God and told me that we didn't have much time to waste, and told me personally, "Waste no time, for there is little time left to spare," when I had this open vision of Jesus standing beside the glory of the Father in heaven. It was one of the most powerful moments of my life, but in that he directly spoke to me and said, "Waste no time, for there's little time left to spare." Now, all you have to do is say, okay, what was going on in the days of Noah? So let's go to Genesis chapter 6. Everybody turn to Genesis chapter 6. Got to lay the foundation here. Just so you know, as you're turning there, this is a statue. It's in a museum, a statue of the fallen angels with the women. This was a sculpture done by Daniel Chester French. Basically, this called the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. This is in the Corcoran Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C. So I guess somebody else believes this too. I don't know. But let's look at the verse here. We're going to look at Genesis 6, 1 and 2. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days. Also after that the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And when this happened, you'll notice something happened in verse 5. Wickedness increased and evil. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And he said, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then he goes on to talk about, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. So before we go much further into this, I want to establish something very clearly. The term sons of God, a lot of people want to argue and say, well, that just means normal men. No, it doesn't. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, the term sons of God was never used for a human man or woman. If you go to the book of Job, if you go to chapter 1 and chapter 2, you see them talking about when the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, he called them the sons of God. And it said Satan came also among them. This is in Job 1 and 2. When Satan petitioned to be able to tempt or put Job through the trial that he went through. But it said that the sons of God presented themselves there and Satan with them. So this means angelic beings. And just so you know, we're going to turn to a verse. Of course, I don't have it up here. But the verse I want everyone to turn to and see so you know that we can prove that this term is used that way. But I want you to look at Job 38. Job 38. This is very important that you establish terms. See, here's the thing about studying the Bible that you must remember. Don't put your own interpretation or even some commentator's interpretation on a certain word or phrase in the Bible. If there's any question about that phrase or that word, you need to look at how it is used in other places in the Bible to remove the confusion. All right? You look it up. If it's an Old Testament word, it's going to be in Hebrew or Aramaic. And you look that up, and you look at that definition, and then you find where it's used in other places and how it's used and the context it's used, and you learn what it means. Now, one of the reasons that I believe the term sons of God is not used for human beings during this time period is because after Adam and Eve sinned and mankind fell from God, it says, we know in the New Testament, in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, that when Jesus came, Jesus had to come. And remember, I'm going to say this again. Jesus was not just the Son of God. Jesus was the Word. The Bible, he was in the Old Covenant and under, before he was revealed as Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Bible says he was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? Jesus was the eternal Word of God, the eternal physical manifestation of God. He decided, the Godhead, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit decided that he would become flesh, he would take on a human body and become the Son of God. This is what we need to understand. A lot of people will accept that Jesus is the Son of God and say, well, I'm a Son of God. So, yeah, Jesus was a Son of God. They'll accept that he was a prophet. But they need to understand that he was not the Son of God before. He was the eternal Word. He was equal. He had full equality in the Godhead. He was one part of the mighty God. That's why Isaiah 9 says this. Isaiah 9 talked about a son being given and a son being born. It's our Christmas verse, right, about the birth of Jesus. We talk about this verse. It's what you see at Christmas time. Isaiah 9:6. He said his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. That's why in John 14, when Philip says to Jesus, show us the Father and it will satisfy us. And Jesus turns to Philip and said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I and my Father are one. And I know this concept sometimes of the Trinity is hard for us to get a hold of, but really it's simple. God is one God who reveals himself in three different ways. But that doesn't mean he's three gods. Jesus is the manifestation of the Godhead in a physical body, in a physical form. God became a man. Matter of fact, Paul said in Timothy, 1 Timothy 3, he said that God becoming a man, God taking on flesh was a great mystery. That God himself, who created man, would choose to become a man so that he could redeem us by giving his own life as a sacrifice for sin. That's why I got no use for Allah, Buddha, Krishna, or any of the other gods that are out there. There's one true God. His name is Yahweh, Jehovah, Elohim. And here's the new thing. Let me just warn you while we're doing this. Elohim is the Hebrew name given when it says God here in these verses, in the first part of Genesis, is the term. You'll see Elohim for God, and Lord is Jehovah, or as we pronounce it, Jehovah, right? Many people are saying that the aliens that are coming, the aliens that are revealing themselves, or what we know to be the fallen angels, are saying, oh, Elohim is plural. Elohim means us, we. So it was really, we were created by the alien, not by God of the Bible. That's literally one of the lines coming. But Elohim, being plural, was revealing the Trinity or the three parts of the Godhead, not a multiplicity of gods or some alien race that created us. Okay? Just make that clear. But what does the Bible tell us? The name for God, the name that's above every name. Jesus is the name of God that's above every name. Now think about that. There are people who want to say Jesus was a prophet, Jesus was just a teacher, Jesus was a good man. But yet the Bible, Philippians, the great apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said these words. He said, he has given him a name. God the Father gave him a name above every name. That is hard to fathom, isn't it? The name, the many names of God. I am Yahweh, Jah, El, El Shaddai, Adonai. All the mighty and awesome names of our Creator. The name of Jesus is above all those names. Amen. So where did I tell you to turn? Job 38. Let's look at this sons of God here. This is when the Lord speaks to Job after his trial and all everybody's run their mouths. And the Lord finally speaks to settle the issue. Right? And here's what the Lord said. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Boy, there's a lot of people speak words without knowledge. People run their mouths. I tell you what, there's a lot of Christians out there that think they know stuff. I run into them on Facebook all the time, and I just have to shake my head. I got one guy arguing with me about whether it's biblical or not to bind demons. I'm like, you know what? This is like arguing with a child over why the sky is blue. I don't have time for that. Right? It's just some of the stuff is just foolish, baby stuff. But he says, gird up now the Lord, thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof? If thou know, who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, and who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang to God, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Uh-oh. This is talking about that creation. There was no man there. And yet he said, the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So this is all the angels watching God create the heavens and the earth and lay the foundations of the earth. All right? So the term sons of God are talking about the angels. Now let's back up to the book of Genesis. He says, we'll back up to this verse. We're going to read it again. Genesis 6, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, the angelic beings, the fallen angels, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And there were giants in the earth in those days. Also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Now, the word giants here is where we get this word. In the Hebrew, it's Nephil. Nephil is the name. Nephilim is the plural of this word Nephil, and it means, here you see the word, a feller, or that is a bully or a tyrant or a giant. So he's also telling us that these giants that were born through human women and fallen angels coming together, these human angelic, evil angelic hybrids, says that they became tyrants. They became bullies. Now, what's amazing about this is that this is revealed, this truth, about very large, tall men, some 9 feet tall, some 10 feet, some 15 feet. Some, matter of fact, skeletons have been found ranging these giants from 7 feet tall all the way up to 36 feet and everywhere in between, 15 feet. I'm going to show you some pictures of some of the skeletons that have been unearthed. But this is where we get the term Nephil or Nephilim, fallen ones, the bullies, the tyrants of old. Okay? Let's keep going here. When it says men of renown, this is what's interesting here. The Hebrew word is shame. Looks like Shem in Hebrew, but there it says it's pronounced shame. But it means that they were, through the idea of a definite and conspicuous position, meaning these were apparent individuals. There are marks and memorials of these individuals, and that they became very famous throughout the ancient world. Of course, we know one of the most famous stories of one of these Nephilim was David and Goliath, the story of Goliath, right? That's probably the most famous. But it's talked about in the Word quite a bit. Now, the Bible talks about Gilgal, or the valley. You'll see the term, the valley of the Rephaim. The term Rephaim also means giants. Now, this is in Israel here, what you're seeing here. This is Gilgal, Rephaim, or the circle of the giants. This is also in the valley of the giants, and many skeletons and artifacts have been found here. And this is where the Bible talks about in Kings, where it's believed that King Og of Bashan lived. And King Og of Bashan in the Bible is talked about as being 15 feet tall, or at least his bed was 15 feet long and 6 feet wide, made of iron, because he was too heavy. And Og was one of the giants that Moses and Joshua had to take care of when they came into it. But this place is massive, and they show it from the air, and they basically believe that it was a burial memorial for Og and or some of the other giants. But here's what's interesting, because remember, what we're going to talk about is there is a connection between this fallen race, this race of giants that lived on the earth a long time ago, and what is coming with the aliens races that's believed to be on this planet. Let me just give you a little hint. How many of you know that our government, the government of the United States, Project Blue Planet, Project Blue Book, any of you have heard of these? These are the UFO research projects, right? Project Blue Planet. They reveal, these documents have been leaked now, revealing that the United States government believes that there are dozens upon dozens of different types of alien races who are present now on the earth in physical form. Say, it's crazy. Why am I telling you this? So when you see it on the news in the days ahead, you won't be caught off guard. But anyway, this is stuff you can look up here. Let's keep going. Of course, like we said, the famous David and Goliath story. And now you'll understand when it says, do you know where they fought this battle with the Philistines, and where David and Goliath fought was in the Valley of Rephaim. Literally fought in the Valley of the Giant. Now, here's what, you know, everybody says. Of course, the Bible's just myths. It's just fairy tales. Really? Right? Let's look. Why do we keep finding these things all over the planet? Skeletons much larger than the man, the average man. Much, much larger. This one was found underwater. And the reason I got this one right here is it says, in order to understand the future, we need to understand the past. Why? What did we read in Ecclesiastes? What has been is that which shall be. It'll be repeated. History always repeats itself. Here are a couple of giant skeletons found in Egypt, buried together. These are rather large ones there. All right? Just to give you a few. Here's an Irish giant that was found by a river in Europe, 15 feet, I think, tall there. He was on display in England. Some English guys had him on display, and then the English government came along, and he disappeared. But there were pictures of this guy in the newspapers of the time. Okay? Here's an interesting one. This might freak some of you out. But this is something, this is a detailed view of a lid of an oaken casket containing a giant's heart preserved of a Norse giant from the 5th century. And while going through his famous grandfather's belongings after his passing in 1937, violinist Lars Sigurdsson discovered this casket with its gruesome contents. It appears to have been passed from generation to generation within his family for hundreds of years. The explanation and whatever the story that goes with it has been lost to the ages. The inscription on the casket is written in Old Norse runes and reads, "Behold, within this casket lies the heart of the fierce and terrible giant known as Hörungnir, whatever, slain this day by Thorfinn or whatever, the Red, whose bravery and cunning shall live forever." And yes, it says that his heart was roughly cut out and preserved with salt, as the Norse people did. And there it is, a massive heart of a Norse giant. You could go on. They find these type skeletons that are very tall, 7, 9, 10, 15 feet tall. There's also another characteristic that begins to reveal itself is on some of these giants, there begins to be a very elongated or enlarged skull. And, of course, there's difference in the eye sockets. A lot of times there's difference in the teeth. Sometimes they'll have two or three rows of teeth. Sometimes, actually, they look like vampire teeth. And I believe this is where the vampires, and some of them have horns. That's very interesting. I guess that's what happens when you mix a fallen angel with a human being. You get all kind of crazy possibilities, don't you? Here, is, this was back in November, 13 Nephilim skulls were found in Mexico. This guy doesn't really look quite human, does he? All right? Now, you got to say, well, why are these genetic changes happening over time? Well, you think about it. If you started out with a fallen angel and a human woman, and they produced a giant, and then you took this giant and another giant, and they produced children, and then those children produced, you're going to begin to see variations in the genetic makeup of this race. What is believed by a lot of people studying this is that Satan and the forces, the fallen angels, began to manipulate this DNA and began to try to genetically modify these individuals, these Nephilim, so that they would more blend in with us. Okay? There's a reason for that. Well, let's go in here. Let's look at this right here. Here's an interesting verse. This is in Genesis. This is why I believe that the devil started down this road and the fallen angels started down this road. It wasn't just about lust. They had a purpose. And this is Genesis 3, 13 through 16. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and the dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. So here we have a scripture that's the first prophecy of the Messiah who what? Would come from a generation of male seed, and that is the word here, seed, but he says there is going to be a war, enmity, a war between the seed of the Messiah, the seed of the woman who would bring forth the Messiah, and Satan's seed. And I hate to be real blunt, but this is talking about male seed. Okay? Here's the word zera, seed, fruit, plant, sowing, posterity, carnally to produce a child. Right? But again, we don't even have to struggle with this. Why? Because we have Genesis 6 flatly telling us that the fallen angels had the ability, had a seed to impregnate human women and create a race of giants, a different race on the earth. Now, why was the devil doing this? What I believe is this. The devil knew, remember, we back up to Genesis 3, and he gets this prophecy. The Lord speaks this curse against the serpent, Satan, and his seed, and tells him, basically, that the woman's seed, someone's going to be born that's going to bruise your heel. You know, you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. He's going to destroy you, destroy your works. So the devil goes, oh my goodness, the devil figured it out. God is going to come, a Messiah is going to come, and he's going to come from human seed. So if I can destroy all true, pure human beings by manipulating and polluting the genetic makeup of mankind, the Messiah can't come. Remember this. The devil has always tried to interfere and stop the prophetic plan of God on the earth. He's always tried to fight it and stop it. Now, I guess he will never win. He might win a few battles here and there, but he never is able to stop God's plan and God's prophecy. What God has spoken will come to pass. Now, I brought out a little bit more. Here's the lexicon in the Hebrew Greek Keyword Study Bible. Zera means seed, grain, sowing, crop, offspring, issue, progeny, posterity, family, or race, and it refers to male semen, just so we're clear, okay? As usual, I try to do my homework so y'all know that Pastor Dean's not making this stuff up as it goes along, right? Now, there is a passage I want to turn to that I didn't put up here, but I want us all to turn it because it's an end-time passage, and it tells us that this mingling of the seed of somebody, something else, is going to mingle itself with the seed of men. Go to Daniel chapter 2. Y'all stay with me? It's hard to rush through this. So you have to bear with me. Some of you have heard some of this. Some of you haven't. So trying to be thorough here. Daniel chapter 2. Everybody there? Now, in the prophetic dream or vision that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar of the statue to reveal the kingdoms that would come following Nebuchadnezzar all the way to the second coming of Jesus Christ, he covers all the kingdoms that would come. All right? Let's just read it. We're going to go Daniel chapter 2. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar wants the wise men and his sorcerers and magicians to reveal it, and nobody can really reveal it because he won't even tell them the dream. He doesn't remember it. So Daniel goes and prays, and he gets the interpretation of the dream, and we're going to go down to verse 36. He said, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom and power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, he hath given it to thine hand and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold on this statue. The statue was looked like a man, had a head of gold. After thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over the earth. So what basically this statue was like this. Before I read any further, I'll explain. The statue was a head of gold. Then it came down, the chest of the arms, the two arms were of silver. Then here was brass, two legs of iron, and the final kingdom were the feet, represented by the feet with the 10 toes. Okay? And then the picture was at the time of the feet kingdom and 10 toes, which were 10 kings, at that time it said a stone came out of heaven and hit the statue at its feet and destroyed all of it. Now, the Bible is very clear. It said that stone became a mountain that filled the whole earth. Well, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He's called the rock, right? And when he comes back, he's going to destroy the Antichrist kingdom, the final kingdom, and all the kingdoms that remain, and he will set up his kingdom that will fill the whole earth. Well, look at what it says when we get down. We'll look at verse 41. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part iron and part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Now, I believe that this iron, the legs of iron, were the Roman Empire. But the Roman Empire split into two halves. It split into east and west. The Roman Catholic Church ruled one side, and Islam ruled the other side, the Byzantine or the Ottoman Empire. Now, it says in the end time kingdom will also be divided. It'll be 2 feet, but they will try to come together and work together. I believe that will be the old Roman Empire, which consisted of Europe and the Middle East. But you got a problem is because you're going to have Europeans trying to deal with Muslims, and that's why it's not going to work. They're going to try to make it work, but it's not going to work, all right? But here's what he says that's interesting. Verse 43. He says, and whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, he gives us a hint of something. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in these days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So he says at the time, but listen to what he says. He says, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Now, hold on a second. If they're not men, you have men, mankind. God's saying here something is going to mingle itself with the seed of men. Well, if it's not, man, what is it? What is mingling itself with the seed of men? Oh, didn't this happen before? Didn't some beings mingle themselves with mankind, with women? So hear what I'm saying to you. Listen closely. This prophecy in Daniel is about the last days. It's about the end. It's about the world coming world government, the Antichrist. It's about the 10 kings that will rise and give their power and strength to the Antichrist. It's all about the end time right before the second coming of Jesus. And he says they will mingle themselves with the seed of men. Then we have the prophecies of Jesus in Luke 17 and Matthew 24, like it was in the days of Noah. And what were they doing in the days of Noah? These fallen angels were mingling themselves with the seed of men. Remember, God created man in his own image. Satan is trying to create some men in his image. Now, why is this important? Because there are these physical beings on the earth. But let's look at a few things before we look at that. Here are some skulls discovered pre-Inca, right? Here's a bust of the Egyptian queen Nefertiti. Do you see some similarity? All right, let's look at a few more here. Here's some hieroglyphics of King Akhenaten, one of the Egyptian kings. And Nefertiti, which is another reason they wore the big hats, to hide the big elongated skull. But notice their children. Do you see that? The elongated skull. And it was said that they had, it was well known that they had the elongated skull, as did one of their descendants, King Tut. Okay? Here's an interesting little thing. This is Egyptian hieroglyphics going back thousands of years. Look at this little entity drawn here, little demon alien looking thing. You think they were encountering the same type of fallen angel demonic activity that we're beginning to see in the earth? I think so. Here's some skulls found. Some of these are down in Peru, Caracas, Peru, Bolivia. Now, a lot of people, what they try to say is that these skulls, these elongated skulls, are just humans that bound their children's skulls and tried to modify them. Well, there was some of that. But you've got a different thing going on, and I'll show you. These are some of the best modified human skulls and still don't look anything like. So look at this dude. Okay? Now here is one. This is just for fun here. That's one that was discovered in Israel in that Valley of the Giants. This one had horns. How'd you like to see that thing coming at you? Better be prayed up, right? Better have the power of Jesus on you, right? There's some more. I believe those are from Peru. But here's the interesting thing, all right? Here's a normal human skull. And what do they call this? Somebody, the sutures, but the plates are called, is it parietal or paradial? How do you say it? Parietal? Anyway, you see this elongated skull has the sutures here and here. Do you see anything going down the middle there? Right? But here's a normal human skull. So let me just make you understand something. If you have human DNA, if you're fully human, you will have a skull that looks like this. Right? Even if you modify it, even if you elongate it through binding, you're still going to have the suture line. And you're going to have the different plates. This is telling us very plainly that we have something here that, yes, is part human, but part something else. Very clearly. Now, I'm going to say this, and just to deal with it, you can look it up, you can check it out, but there's a lot of articles coming out that recently there have been some scientists who are not Christian, mind you, who have started doing DNA tests on these elongated skulls. And guess what they found out? Because, you know, they can find out if, you know, they can look at a child. They could look at Faith, they could test Faith's DNA, and they could find out if I'm the father and if Nancy's the mother. They can know where who the father is and who the mother is, right? Well, here's what they discovered. Some of these recent tests on the DNA of these skulls shows they had a human mother, but the father was not completely human. Now, folks, hear what I'm saying. We've looked at the Bible. We've looked at archaeology. And now the archaeology is showing us scientifically that these are facts. Okay? Now, here's where it gets really interesting. Recently, and we could even pull it up. I could even pull it up on YouTube. There's a show I started watching. We were over in Georgia at Nancy's parents' house, and everybody was doing their own thing. It was late at night, and I can't remember now what it was called, Alien Case Files or something, strange thing like that. Anyway, they are talking about how all these files, secret government files from governments across the world, are now being opened and revealed, right? Well, one of the shows, and I watched it, and I watched it again on YouTube, one of the shows was the Vatican connection to an ancient alien secret. Now, listen to what I'm saying. And it starts out talking about this ancient alien secret that the Vatican has kept secret, right, for a long time. And then it talks about how the Vatican is preparing to basically to introduce the world to this alien race, right? Right? So I'm watching this thing because I know about the Vatican's interest in searching for extraterrestrial life and alien life, right? And how they want to be at the forefront of all that, right? So I'm watching this show. And it gets down to the end, And it shows that underneath the Vatican, that they have kept secret for years, Seascott. And the Vatican is claiming that these skulls that are not completely human are alien and not from the fallen angel.
Well, but it gets even more interesting.
There's a woman named Karen Hudes. Karen Hudes worked for the World Bank for 20 years. She was a lawyer for the World Bank, representing the United States at the World Bank for 20 years. You know what her job was? To hunt out corruption within the World Bank. So they really pushed her to do some audits and do some checking, right? And so she came out. She hired investigators. She did her due diligence. And she found all this corruption going on at the World Bank. She has spoken to senators and congressmen. She has been in Senate hearings. This woman is well connected. Now, the World Bank fired her for doing her job because she found out where the money was going, which most of it goes to the Jesuits at the Vatican. Your tax dollars, she said. 60% of your tax dollars, she said, goes to the Jesuits at the Vatican. The other 40% of your tax dollars, she said, goes to the Illuminati bankers in Europe. Well, wait a minute. Anybody did the quick math on that? That's 100%. Well, how do we pay our bills if 100% of our money is going to the Vatican and to the bankers in Europe? How do we pay our bills? You know what she said? Print money. We print money, we borrow money, and we sell drugs. The CIA drug program out of Vietnam, and now the CIA drug program out of Afghanistan. That's how the United States government pays its bills, according to this woman. Well, here's something interesting. Just the other day, and I watched her, and I'm like, I believe her. She's not even a Christian, and she's just spouting it out. And I think they haven't killed her because she got so much information out so quickly, it'd just be too obvious, right? So she says just the other day in an interview, that the Vatican has these beings that they live underneath the Vatican, and that this race that is not human, fully human, lives in the Vatican, and is one of the reasons, she says, that they wear the big hat at the Vatican. Hear this, you guys. Descendants of the Nephilim, the giants, are part fallen angel, part human. They are extremely evil entities, extremely evil creatures. We could go down the list. Do you know that Hitler had some of these beings involved in trying to wipe out the Jews? There is an ancient enmity. Now, hear what I'm about to tell you. Remember what we said, Ecclesiastes, what has been will be again. The bloodline of the Nephilim, the bloodline of the giants, the bloodline of this great wicked and this great evil is still with us today. I'm about to tell you something that just blow your mind here. Why, this is what she says. Let me go back to Karen Hudes, what she says about these beings, these entities, these not so human. And she says they're claiming that they're alien extraterrestrials. She goes, they're not. Right? But she said, these are the things that are running the show behind the scenes. And that these beings are the ones that the Illuminati say that the bloodline of these great kings, these men of renown from the ancient times, that their blood still runs in these Illuminati bloodlines that control the world. Now let's stop for a second. We know that these Illuminati bloodlines, these Illuminati families, want to do two things, primarily. They want to wipe Israel off the map, the Jews, and they want to get rid of Christians and Christianity and create a world controlled by them. Well, what did we find out? That means they're completely loyal to Satan. Here is what some of these people who have studied this stuff have said, that these people who are truly Nephilim or descendants of the giants, descendants of the Nephilim, say that God used the Jews, the Hebrews, Moses and Joshua to try to wipe them out. That's why they have worked so hard behind the scenes to gain power to wipe us out. Now, for those of you wondering also, see, this answers one of the biggest questions of people who hate the Bible and are looking for an excuse to hate God and run away. One of the biggest excuses you will hear from atheists and agnostics and people who just hate Christianity and they hate the Bible and they hate the Jews. You'll hear them say, well, the God of the Jews, the God of the Christians, was a homicidal, genocidal maniac because he would just wipe out or have his people just wipe out whole groups of people. Well, once again, we learn man is stupid. God knows everything. Man thinks he knows what's right. And God knows exactly what's right. Here's the deal. Anything going back that far that was either a direct Nephilim or a descendant of Nephilim, the closer you were to that genetic mutation, dysfunction, whatever you want to call it, the closer you were, the more evil, the more wicked, and the more not human if you were. The giants became, if we go down through history, the giants became brutal murderers of the human race. They became cannibals and bloodthirsty maniacs. And God knew if he let races of these things continue to flourish, mankind, true human beings, his children would be wiped out. The face of it, that they would completely take over. So had God not come in and intervened with the flood of Noah, if he hadn't, many times he had to come back and intervene, but if he had to intervene with the flood of Noah, then he began using Moses and Joshua and the children of Israel, and then later he began to use David, but the war was to wipe out this evil seed, this evil genetic seed of Satan, so that you and I, the true, pure human beings, could survive. So God wiping out the Amorites and the Amalekites and the children of Anak, he was wiping out these evil creatures who wanted to do nothing but murder and kill and destroy. God is always right. Amen? Now, back in 1987, see, this is not something new for me. I want to explain this to you. People think, oh, Pastor Dean just on another fad to think that. No. In 1987, my first convert was a Satanist, a rather high-level Satanist, whose father was an even higher-level Satanist. I mean high priest. High priestess in training in the Ozark Mountains. And we know now what's going on in the Ozark Mountains. There is an underground base being built there, but there's always been caves there and a lot of underground activity, a lot of satanic activity. This is where I lived in the Ozark Mountains when I came back to Jesus and found out that there was a massive community of Satanists who lived in this region where I was. And when I led this person who was a high-level Satanist to Jesus, and they came out of that and started telling me what was going on behind the scenes, one day we were reading Genesis 6 about this race of giants coming from fallen angels and human beings mixing together. And this high-level ex-Satanist told me in 1987, before the internet, before anybody wrote books about it, she told me very plainly that these things already exist and they are hidden underground until the tribulation period begins. And then they will be let loose on the human race. That's what she said in 1987. So I waited for a long, long time before I really talked about it because the evidence had to come out. Now you think about it. Here we've got the Alien Case Files TV show showing that the Vatican has these skulls. We have a woman who worked for the World Bank as part of the UN, works for the World Bank saying they have these creatures hidden under the ground, under the catacombs of the Roman Catholic Church. The lie is, listen to me, and this is why this is important, because the UFO phenomenon that's in the sky that we talked about weeks back, the flying disc, remember from Zechariah 5, the UFO phenomenon is setting us up for a great deception, but soon these things, these part human, part fallen angel beings are going to step forth and claim to be races of aliens. They're going to lie to the human race and tell that they created humankind. The Bible's a lie. The gospel of Jesus is a lie. And you've got to remember, because they're part fallen angel and part human, they're going to have great supernatural power. Now, let me tell you the good news. Anything that's part fallen angel and part demon, the true Christian, power and authority against them and over them. You couldn't win a battle, physical battle, with these things. But using the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, they will flee from you. And one of the reasons I believe that they had to be hidden underground for this long is because through the 70s and the 80s and even the 90s, there was a lot of strong, good teaching in the body of Christ about spiritual warfare, our authority in Jesus Christ, how to bind, how to resist, how to fight the devil, how to fight spiritual forces, even spiritual forces of Satan that were manifesting in the physical world. And so there was a lot of good, solid teaching on it. But now we're in the time of the great falling away. And we're in the time of the apostasy. So many churches have fallen away from the truth. They don't teach anything about demons, about resisting the devil. And then we got these well-meaning but ignorant Christians saying, you don't bind the devil, you don't address the devil, you don't. We are just, the word apostasy means to depart from truth. And if you depart from truth, you're going to lose power. It also means to leave something you were formerly loyal to. So if you were truly loyal to Jesus, living a true Christian life, it means people are not living a true, holy Christian life, and they're not even believing the Bible anymore. They're not even putting it into practice. I mean, I had to rebuke this guy. I just told him, I said, Jesus said in Matthew 12, first bind the strong man, and then you can spoil his house. And that's talking about in the context of casting out demons and dealing with demons first. No, I don't believe that's what it says. I don't know what we're going to do with you then. I just thought to myself, well, you're going to get beat up. Probably get killed, too, when all this breaks out. You know, there's that scripture, Paul, somewhere in Corinthians, let the ignorant be ignorant. Jesus talked about in Matthew 16, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose will be loosed. And he said, these are the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And for that church, he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, we won't even get into the book of Enoch. I'll probably already get mean emails about this. But here's the truth, you know. Remember Jesus said there would be fearful sights in the heaven. Things happening on the earth as we get into these last days, he said, that would cause men's hearts to fail. I don't know about you, but I think there's some people going to freak out if some of that stuff starts coming at them and just die, right? Just from the fear and terror of it all. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of, what did he say first? Power, love, and a sound mind. There is nothing more powerful in this world than Jesus and the Holy Spirit lives in you. And the name of Jesus coming out of your mouth, and the name and the authority of Jesus coming out of a life that is truly submitted and obedient to him. Remember this, James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The key to that is submit to God first. Repent of sin. Repent of doing your own will. Repent of seeking fleshly, worldly lust and worldly things to fill you. Submit to God, be filled with God's word, God's truth, and do things God's way, and then you can resist the devil, and he will flee from you in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, we are called to be like David, spiritual warriors. Some people think, well, you think David just killed him with that sling and that rock. You know, David was probably pretty good with the sling. How many of you know that he said, I don't come to you, just me. He came against Goliath, that Nephilim giant. He came against him in the name of the Lord of hosts. And it was the power of God that guided that stone and sunk it into Goliath's head. Frankly, I don't even know how David must have been, even though he was a young boy and obviously not very big, he must have been strong because he said he picked up Goliath's sword and took his head off it. Now, I'm going to share one more thing, and then I'm going to close here. I won't get into how I know, but I know that there are people walking around who are close, who are way back more, they're more of this Nephilim DNA in them than human. But there are people with just traces of this. But hear what I'm saying. The power and the blood of Jesus can defeat it. I've seen it with my own eyes. Amen? We'll get into more of that later on. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth. Lord, I know I've seen things in the occult world and dealing with people coming out of Satanism and witchcraft and deep occultism that will blow people's minds. But Lord, soon these things are going to begin to be manifesting in the world, and we don't need to be ignorant to the devil's plans, to the devil's devices. We need to know who we are in Jesus Christ and how to fight this evil and stand against this evil and to warn people. They're going to call them aliens. They're going to call them extraterrestrials, but God, we know they're just a mixture of these fallen angels and human beings. Some of them will just be fallen angels taking a physical form. Father, we pray that you will expose this lie to many, many people before they're deceived and lead your church into truth, because we're supposed to be leading the way of exposing the devil's works and lies and deception. I pray, bless your people here today. Bless those listening. Bless those who will listen. Bless our fellowship that we have here today. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. All right. Well, we're going to sign off here. I'm going to tell everybody that's been listening by Blog Talk Radio and those listening by Shoutcast Radio, we're glad you're with us. I'm Pastor Dean Ole. You've been listening to Fire and Grace Church here in East Alabama. Again, we bless you and hope you've learned something. Hope you're getting ready to be soldiers and warriors in these last days. But we're going to sign off and take care of some of our church business. But God bless. Email us. Let us know you're out there. Hallelujah. Well, any questions before we...